Praise you, Lord. Well, we've been in a series about healing, on healing, called Jesus Our Healer. This is part 12. We've been on it, just taking our time, going through, laying a foundation, going through what the Word of God says about these things. And so, let's read Acts 10, verse 34. The jumping-off scripture that we've used. It says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, and every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness, is accepted by Him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, that which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him.'" Verse 38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good." So he went about doing good, and part of the good he went about doing was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So you can see a number of things. Number one, he's going about doing good. And we read, and we spent a lot of time on these things, just summing up some things so we can all move forward. But Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father, and I don't do my own will, but the one that the will of him who sent me. So when he's going about doing good, he's doing the will of the Father. He's not doing his own thing, and so he went about doing good. So God's will is good. In other words, Jesus isn't doing something opposed to the Father. In other words, God is not putting, he's not destroying people and Jesus coming and picking up his, cleaning up his mess. That's not true. They're aligned. So he went about doing good. Part of the good he was doing was healing. So healing's good. And he was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So sickness is not from God. It originates in sin and originates with the devil. It originates in death. All when Adam and Eve sinned, when they went away from God, they introduced death into the world. And anytime we go away from God, it gives access to death. It's not God's will. God's will was paradise. And we see right here, God's will is healing. But when we yield to the wrong thing, we're giving access to death. Anything that's not God's way is death. Jesus came so that we could be well in body. He paid for our sin. He paid for our iniquity. And we're going to see that so that we could be well. So he was the payment. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. It says, "Surely he," now this is prophesying, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying about the Messiah who would come, which is Jesus. It says, "Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." In the Amplified Classic, this brings us out more in a number of other versions. We read them. Verse 4 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs." More clearly, that literally means sicknesses. Here it says, "our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows." Specifically, it says sorrows and pains. So that sorrows is really literally pains. "So we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God." So it's prophesying the Messiah is going to pay for our sickness and pain. And look at Isaiah 53, 11 and 12. We looked at this. But just later in that same chapter, talking about the Messiah, it says, "He shall see labor of his soul and be satisfied." It's talking about Jesus. "By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. The way it says in verse 11, he shall bear their iniquities, and then in verse 12, he bore the sin of many, is the same word. That bear is the same where, say that the bear and bore is the same word that in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, which we just read, when it says he bore our griefs, he bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains, our sorrows, it's the same word. So the same way he bore our sin and iniquity is the same way he bore or carried our sicknesses and pains. In other words, the way he paid for our sin is the way he paid for sickness. They are in the same package. In other words, it's done. It's just as finished. The payment is just as complete for our sickness and pain as it is for our sin. And then so if we can believe that our sins are taken care of in Jesus, we have the faith. Once it comes, it's the same faith you're going to use to believe for healing. Okay? They're not separate. And so how does faith come? It comes by the word of God. So knowing this, now we say, all right, well, it's been paid for. I don't have to take it then. And we resist. Now look real briefly, Matthew 8:16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Talking about Jesus. He healed all who were sick that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. This is looking back at what Isaiah said, and it's translating it for us. The Holy Spirit through Matthew is saying, this is what he's talking about. He himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses, and he's referring to Jesus healing physically the sick. So we know that's what was being prophesied with, and we know that's what's being fulfilled as Jesus is healing. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. In other words, what the blows that he took, the wounds that he took, they were to pay for our sickness. In other words, the payment has been made by what he did so that our body could be well. And that is his will for our body to be well. Amen. So let's read Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance or the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith, that word faith means confidence, it means persuasion, it means persistence. We've talked about these things. Those are the things, that's how you expect. So what you expect is based on your faith. So if we know faith comes, we're not going to put this up, but faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We spoke a lot about that. So when you hear the word, like we're looking at the word concerning healing, when we see that word, faith comes. In other words, we can believe something different, which means we can start to expect something different because we believe something different. So if we had never heard that God had made a payment of sickness and disease through Jesus, we would say, well, maybe that's just what God wants for me. But once we hear that, we can say, wait a minute, that faith comes that we believe, wait, he wants my body well, and he's paid for it. No, it's already, the bill's been paid, so I don't have to deal with this any longer. I can resist it because, just like you would resist sin, you know, somebody's trying to get you to go rob a bank, you're like, no, I'm not doing that. Sickness is trying to hit you. We should have the same attitude. No, I'm not taking that. Why? Jesus paid for that. I'm not messing with that. No. How does that come? It comes from hearing the word of God. Because, you know, not all Christianity has this attitude towards sickness. They've been taught God makes you sick. So when sickness comes, they're like, well, maybe this is God. And so they don't resist. They just take it. That would be like somebody coming up and saying, you want to go rob a bank? You're like, well, maybe this is God speaking through them. Okay, let's do it. You laugh, but that's what people do. Their sickness comes, which is clearly evil, and people say, maybe it's God. See, how does that change? You got to know something. You got to hear the word. You have to hear what God actually said in his word. Now you can say, oh, no, no. No, this has been paid for. I'm pressing back. And so your expectation changes. Your mode changes. So faith is being persuaded or convinced of something. You are convinced that that's what God wants for you because that is what the word says. So now you operate that way. Your faith is where your confidence is. All right? So if you believe something, or you have faith in it, that's just not a religious term. That means you're persuaded. That means I'm confident of it. All right? And we talked a lot about those things. Today, I want to talk about, so how does faith, how does believing God, how does what we're talking about and all these things, how does that work with doctors and medicine? You know, we talk about faith, talk about the words, what that word says. How? So what does that look like? There's doctors, there's medicine, there's natural things. How does this look? And, you know, some people get the idea it's either or. Well, you either believe God or you go to the doctor. It's not either or. And we're going to see that. But how would you know? How would you know how we should look at these things? We're going to look at the Word of God. It's not my opinion. We got to look, we got to know, just like everything else, how does God look at these things? What does the Word say concerning these things? So let's look, first of all, Exodus 15, 26. We may get through this. I got so much here. We may get through this, but we may go into another session with this, and we're just going to be led on how we're teaching this. That's why we just believe God, that we're being led by Him, and everything's going to come out the way it comes out that it needs to. Exodus 15, 26, we looked at this before, but it says, verse 26, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases, and we talked about some of these things, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. In other words, if you do what I tell you to do, we looked at the curse of the law and we looked at, go back and listen to those things. If you go after God, then His will is health and wholeness. And we talked about some of these things, but look at the end. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. So the question is, if he's the Lord that heals us, and we talked about some of this as well, if it says He's the Lord who heals us, is He still the Lord who heals us, or is He not the Lord who heals us anymore? That word, what that is, it's when it says, I'm the Lord who heals you, that's Jehovah Rapha, which is translated, I am the Lord, your physician. I am the Lord, your doctor. I am the Lord that heals you. And this is one of the seven covenant names of God. And we read these before, but just real quick, Jehovah Rapha, that's the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Shammah is translated, the Lord is there or is present. Well, is He still present today? Yes. Jehovah Shalom is translated, the Lord our peace. Is He still our peace today? Yes. Jehovah Raha is translated, the Lord is my shepherd. The Bible said He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, Jesus. Is the Lord still our shepherd today? Yes. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. Is He still our provider today? Lord shall provide all, he'll meet all your need according to His riches and glory, right? So that hasn't passed away. Jehovah Nisi means the Lord our banner or victor, our captain. The Bible says that He leads us into victory. That's not passed away. He always causes us to triumph. Jehovah Tsidkenu is translated, the Lord our righteousness. Well, Jesus is, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Has that passed away? No. And Jehovah Rapha is the Lord, your healer. Is He still the healer today? Yes, He still, that hasn't passed away. And we talked about this, it would be logically inconsistent to say, oh, well, He's all that, but now He's not the healer today. Okay, no, He is the healer. So here's the thing that we need to understand. God, to start out, God is the healer. God is the source of healing. Okay? And once we get this straight, then it starts to get clear. We've talked about this. Once you know what the Word says, things start to get clear about these things. Because the Lord is our, He is the true physician. He's the Lord that heals us. He's the one that we look to. He's the one that's the true source of healing. Just like Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide, He is our source. Our job's not our source. Our family's not our source. The government's not our source. Your connections aren't your source. God's our source. There's many channels where He could provide money to you, resources. I mean, cause a raven to deliver food in the old covenant at one point. He can make it happen. So you don't start saying, oh, I got this job. That's my source. Now, if I lose that job, I'm not going to be taken care of. That's one channel that God can use, but that is not the source. We get our eyes off anything. Well, I need the government. No, the government's not your source. Well, I got this one big account, but if that big account goes away, no, that's not your source. That's a channel. Channels can change. The source doesn't change. So we keep our eyes on Him. Now, no matter what happens, God didn't go anywhere, so He's still my source. And I can say, well, you may want me to do something different at different times. Okay, you may want me to move on to a different job or change it, but you're my source. See, if He's our source, you're going to do what He says. If something else is your source, I know God wants me to do this, but, ooh, the money. Well, now you just identified your God. If God's telling you to do this and you say, but the money, well, money's your God. And that's your source. Because you're going to go where you think the money is, not where God tells you. Because if God's your source, you're going to go where He told you. You know He'll provide regardless. Amen. So it's the same with healing. The Lord is our physician. He is the healer. Okay, we need to get this straight. No person can heal. He is the healer. God created the body. He knows how to fix it. And so we look to Him to heal our body. He is the one that we trust. This body, I said it a few weeks ago, it's just a machine. Okay, when we get these things straight, it becomes clear. It's a machine that we have to work in while we're here on the earth. It gets us around. And you want to keep it well. God knows that. God put healing in the body, a measure of healing in the body. That's why when you hurt yourself when you were 6 years old, you may have a scar, but it's not gaping open, it's healed. You know, if you got a cut, and you cut your elbow, you know, you skinned your, you know, if you played sports, like I played baseball growing up and soccer and some tennis. But, you know, if you're sliding into base, playing baseball, and the ground, you know, there's different levels of how well a baseball field is kept up. So, you know, if it hasn't been watered and it's out and, you know, baking in the sun, it can be hard. And if you go down sliding like that, you may come up with a big fat strawberry on your leg. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You look down and you can wear sliding pants. Some people would do that. And so that doesn't, you know, happen as much. But, you know, I had some of those. You slide and you get up and, oh, you know, skin's just been ripped off. Well, that happened to me. But you know what? It's not like that anymore. Why? Because it healed. People say, well, that's just natural. That's not just natural. God put that in it. He put that in our body. God made the body. And he made the body heal. That's not just natural. That is God. God's the healer. God designed the body. And while we were getting around in this body, He designed it so it would fix. So that's a measure of healing. In other words, that's That's part of what God does. He is the creator. He is the healer. And so we realize this. So doctors are not healers. Ministers are not healers. God's the healer. People can help. And thank God for the people that help. But when if you have a surgery and they roll you out of the surgery, at that point, they could have done amazing. They could have sewed you up. The surgeon did his best work ever. At that point, you need to be healed. The doctor didn't heal you. He used a knife, a scalpel. He cut you. Now you need to be healed. Who's going to heal you? Who is going to heal you? That God is the healer. Your body, you know, you can have the best surgery done, and if your body doesn't take and heal up, you could die. This is people, they got a simple little infection, and it should not kill somebody. I know of people. It started, and it shouldn't have taken them out, but whatever they did, whatever medical science did, the body would not take, and they died, or they lost a limb or something. Why? Because the body wasn't doing what it needed to do. The doctors could only do so much. And at some point, they had to amputate to keep it from doing more. But the body would not, it wasn't doing what it needed to do. The doctor's not the healer. God's the healer. Now, this is the thing we gotta get set. That there is one source of healing. The channels can come in different ways, but the point is you want your body to work. Okay? Praise you, Lord. Got my pages. Here we go. Psalm 103, verse 3, real quick. We read this before. It says, who forgives all you... Let's read verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Who heals all your diseases? God. Who's the healer? Who's the one that forgives... Who's the only one that can forgive? God. Who's the only one that can truly heal you? God. Y'all with me? He's the healer. He's the healer. Let's look at Hosea 11, verse 3. It says, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. They didn't know that I healed them. They didn't know it was God who healed them. So we need to be watchful, be cautious, be conscious of who we give credit to. God should receive the credit and the praise. When your body works and things go right, you ought to lift your hands and thank God that he healed you. Now, he may have used, there's different channels it could have come through. You can be thankful for that. You can be thankful for how you were helped. You could be thankful for a doctor that helped you and treated you. But you give all praise and glory to God because he's your healer. You could be thankful for somebody that prayed with you and that maybe laid hands on you and that believed with you for healing, but you don't give the glory to the minister or the person. You're thankful for them, but you give glory to God because he's the healer. And you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that my body's healed. But you don't go to a man and say, you healed me. God could use a person so that you are healed, but he is the healer. He's the healer. Look at Jeremiah 17, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel and all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. In other words, you're my healer. You can heal me. Are we all on the same page that God can do anything except what he's limited himself? He said, he cannot lie, but he can do anything. God can do it. How many of you are sure that men are limited? But God can do it. If God heals you, you're healed. You know, you could get a treatment and something else pops up. It solves this. Have you ever seen all the commercials? Okay. You hear the main text of the commercial, and then for like twice as long as that was, you hear all the side effects. I mean, we laugh about it. You're taking this to solve this problem. You might get eight more that are worse. You got to decide. And that's part of it. No, with God, if he heals you, you're healed. Okay, he's got a way. He's not like, well, this is the best I can do. I can do this, but, you know, you're going to have to deal with this other thing the rest of your life. Choose. That's not his will. I said that's not his will. If God heals you, he has a path that you can be healed. So some people preach against doctors. And historically, some people have preached against doctors, and people that have been quoted and had a healing anointed and prayed, but they actually they preached against doctors and have made it like an either or. And I just think a lot of people, you know, you hear bits and pieces of things, and you can hear that the Lord is the healer, and you know, you hear the scriptures on healing, and I think it's easy to go into an either-or mentality. Oh, well, I want to believe God, so anything natural, I just put it aside. I'm going to believe God. And then there's people that believe, I mean, that actually preach, don't go to the doctor. And that doesn't line up with the Bible. Again, if you go back to the Lord is the healer, number one. He's the healer. Bottom line, he wants your body well. And people say, well, if you really believe God, you won't go to the doctor. Now, here's a little insertion. If you believe God, you're going to do what he tells you to do. That's what you're going to do. It's not an either-or situation. But here's something. So, you know, where we are recorded in 2026, it's a lot different, medically speaking, than it was 100 years ago, than it was 75 years ago, than it was 50 years ago. We're progressing constantly in medicine, right? So what they would, I mean, in 1,000 years ago? I mean, I don't know when this was, you know, but people, at some point in history, you know, you had a headache, they're going to drill a hole in your head to try to relieve that. We know that's not the right solution. Okay, so it's a believe God or we're going to kill you. Well, so there's a big difference, right? There's medical science is in a different place. And so some of these people, you know, 200 years ago or 100 years ago, you're like, you're going to believe God or you're going to go and they're going to do these crazy things to you. So, well, that's a different thing too. Like you have all these side effects too, but it's all the same thing where there's some things that there were side effects years ago and now it's easy for them to do. It's like, you don't have to even deal with those side effects. There are no side effects. So things are advancing all the time. So the point is, where we are now is not the same as maybe things were in the past. So we got to take all that into consideration. But the bottom line is you go into the Word and look at what the Word says. But one thing, people will use this, 2 Chronicles 16:12. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Chronicles 16:12 says, in the 39th year of his reign, this is Asa, Asa became diseased, king of Judah, diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in his 41st year of his reign. So it says, in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. In the NLT, it says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. Yet even in the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to his physicians. In the GW, it says, instead of asking the Lord's help, he went to doctors. So people can use this and say, see, you're not supposed to go to doctors. But this is what's really going on here. Asa, if you look just a few verses before, see, Asa, he sought help from Syria when Judah was attacked by Israel. So they were being attacked, and he went to get help and bought natural help, natural military power. But earlier, he had gone to God. There were much worse odds, but he had sought the Lord, and the Lord had delivered him. Then later, he didn't seek the Lord. He just went to man, and he paid them to use their help. And so if you look at 2 Chronicles 16, this is just a few verses, 16 verse 7, just a few verses before, it says, at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord. So this is after he went to buy his help instead of going to the Lord. He said, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. So the issue, the real issue, was that Asa, he had seen God deliver him before, and he knew he could do it, but he didn't seek God. So then when he was sick, number one, he had disobeyed God. He hadn't gone to God. And then when he had this sickness, it says he went to the doctors. He did not seek God. So we don't. What Asa was doing, he went only and looked at the physicians. He said, I'm not even looking to God. I'm looking to the doctor. And he's going to the doctor to be his help instead of God. In other words, he didn't ask God what to do. He just went to the doctor and said, well, the doctor will take care of it. And this is the problem. It's not that he went to a doctor. It's that he didn't even ask God. And God was the one that had taken care of him before, and he knew God could help, and he didn't go to God. God is the source, and he didn't seek him. That's the problem. It's not that he went to a doctor. God may have helped him that way, but he did. See, there's a problem there when he's not going to God. See, we don't replace God with doctors. God's the healer. So you go to him. You don't say, well, man, I'm not talking to God, so I'm just going to go to the doctor. That's where you get in trouble. You're not going to God. God is not your source at that point. He is not the healer. Then we can replace God with doctors, and some people have said that. Some people will teach, well, God doesn't heal supernaturally today. It's just through the doctors. In fact, that's gifts of healings. That, you know, the nine gifts of the Spirit, they'll say, well, the gifts of healing, that's doctors now. That's not true. Because it talks about the gift, you know, the gift, word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And they say, well, that's just natural. That's just not knowledge. No, all those are supernatural. Miracles, gift of faith. These are supernatural gifts. So no, God did not now suddenly become powerless and now you got to go to the doctor. No, he's still the healer. So no, God has not replaced himself with doctors in 2026 as much as they can do. So we go to God first in everything. We don't replace God with man in anything. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Trusts in man. In other words, you're relying on somebody, some person, to help you. Relying, making them the Savior. Doesn't say that God won't use people to help you. But if you put the person as the source, that's where we make a mistake. No man is our source. No man is the person that we put our full trust in. We put our trust in God. And then we do what he tells us to do. It says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. In other words, you're not person isn't looking to God anymore. His heart's departed from God. He said, nah, we'll take care of this ourselves. We don't have to mess with it. I don't have to believe God. I know they can do it. They got this thing. I'll just do it. They may be able to do it that way, and that's the way God may lead you to do it. But if you don't go to ask him first, that's the problem. Don't replace God with a person in any area. Don't assume you're going to do something without asking the Lord. That's the issue. Praise you, Lord. Oh, we thank you. All right. So let's go. We're going to read some scriptures regarding doctors. So early Genesis 50, verse 2. Genesis 50, verse 2, it mentions physicians. It says, and Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel, his dad. So we see that the physicians were embalming there. Jeremiah 8, verse 21. It says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken a hold of me. There is no balm in Gilead. Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? No, he's talking, you know, figuratively about these people, but he's using this. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there no doctor? He's referring, the Bible's referring to a doctor. Look at Matthew 9, verse 12. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So this one is in Matthew, Mark, Luke. Here in Mark it says, or Matthew, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Look at it in Luke 5:31. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. In the NLT, go back in Matthew 9:12, it says, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Is Jesus saying sick people need a doctor? Yes or no? That's literally what he said. If God was against doctors, Jesus would not have said this. He would have said something else. Why would he say that? If it's a sin, if it's wrong to go to a doctor, Jesus would not have said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people need a doctor. Look at Colossians 4:14. Thank you, Lord. Here, Luke, in case you don't know, Luke wrote the book of Luke, but he also wrote Acts. He's a traveling partner of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is writing to Colossians. Here it says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. In the NLT, it says, Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings. So these are written after Luke is not, he is saved. He is a Christian. He is traveling with the Apostle Paul at this point. And if physician, if doctor was a bad thing, Luke would not have been known as the beloved physician, the beloved doctor. Do you think? Right. How many people, want to be known? If they were a drug dealer in past after a Christian, they want to be known as Jim the drug dealer. Jim the pastor and drug dealer. And if I were writing a letter to somebody, Jim the drug dealer greets you. What would you think of that? It's like, Jim doesn't understand some things. Jim's proud of this? You're a Christian? You're a pastor? And you're like, proudly, Jim, parentheses, the drug dealer. So, here, Paul is calling him the beloved doctor. If doctor is a bad thing, Paul is not writing this. He's not. Is he? So he's gone through, and he's with the Apostle Paul. He's going through, traveling with the Apostle Paul. He's seen things. He wrote part of Scripture. If he now was something else, he would have emphasized that. Whatever's the pastor, the apostle, Luke the apostle, Luke the pastor. So if doctors were contrary to God and contrary to believing God, contrary to faith, contrary to God being the healer, Jesus would not have used the phrase, the sick need a doctor. And Paul would not have used the phrase, Luke, the beloved doctor, Luke, the beloved physician. He would have called him something else. He wouldn't have used that. He wouldn't have still been. So if he's called that in a letter, that means that's how people know him. Oh yeah, you're the doctor, Dr. Luke. Seriously, he's Luke the doctor, traveling. Doctor? He would have been like, that was before I got saved. I don't do that anymore. Don't call me that anymore. Right? With some of these other things? That's my old life. Now we know now, I travel with the Apostle Paul. We don't do that. We go to God and that's it. Don't bring that up again. Right? That's not what he said. It is in Scripture that Paul said, Luke, the beloved, not just the doctor, and leave you to wonder, yeah, he's a doctor. We can't get him off. He just got to pull out his medicine bag. He just treats people. We're trying to cure him. He said the beloved doctor. So God is not anti-doctor. Faith, believing God, is not anti-doctor. It is not either or. Either you go to the doctor or you believe God. If you're going to go to the doctor, you better believe God. If you're going to let anybody mess with your body, you better do it, be doing it, because God is directing you to do it. So it's not either or, it is seek God and do what he tells you to do. If you can't do it, believing. If you're feeling guilty, if you're feeling like, I don't know if I should do it, then you shouldn't do it. Romans 14:23 says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin. So whatever we do, it ought to be because we believe that's what we should do. And that is what God is leading us to do. In other words, you don't do something just because somebody else is doing it. You don't do something because somebody told you that's what the Lord would have you do. You do it because you believe the Holy Spirit is leading you to do it, because that's how he deals with his church in this dispensation. God doesn't direct you through other people. He may help you through other people, but he doesn't tell you what to do through other people. He can confirm what you're supposed to do through other people, but God is going to deal with you. He's going to lead you. He's going to lead me. And it's not for anybody else to make the decision of what you should do. And you shouldn't do anything because somebody is pressuring you to do it, or somebody thinks you don't have faith if you don't do it, or do it, or whatever. You do it because you believe God is leading you to do it, because that's where your confidence is. We've been talking about it, faith. That's where you're confident. You are confident that from the Word, from your relationship with God, that this is what he's leading me to do, and God is in it, and he's the healer, so I'm going to be led by him and do what he told me to do so I can get my body fixed, because he's the healer. And I'm confident we can do this, and it'll be done, and I'm moving on. If you're not in faith, you're in sin. How do you know if you're in faith? We've been talking about this. You're confident. Where your confidence is where your faith is. And if you're thinking, we're getting in this, we got stuff later, but we'll touch on this now. If you believe, if somebody's telling you, no, don't go to the doctor, and inside you're like, you are feeling like, you are not confident about staying home, but you think you shouldn't go to the doctor, but there's not a confidence there, there's not a strength there, there's not a security there, there's not a peace there, then you need to check your heart and get in line with the Word of God and get in line with the Spirit and do what he told you to do, and it might be you need to go to the doctor. It might be that you don't go to the doctor, but you don't, if you're not confident, you've located yourself. That's good. Again, we'll come back to some of these things, but if the only reason you don't do something or you do something is because that's where you believe you're being led. And then there's peace. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Because God is your healer, and you're looking to him and you're saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm going to be led by that. I'm going to do it. And he knows where you are. And here's the thing. Not everybody, we're all different. Not everybody is at the same level. Not everybody has the same experience. Not everybody's heard the same word. And so there is no set answer. Did you hear me? Tell me again, who is the healer? God is the healer. So who do you go to? So it's not necessarily the same answer for everybody. Well, I did this, therefore you should too. No, no, that person should go to God and decide between him and them and what they know, where they are. One person could say, I'm going to do this. I have confidence and they're fine. Another person says, I saw them do it. I believe I'll do that too. And they die. You don't do something because somebody else did it. You don't do something, you know, people will go in, and we're going to get into this, but we're just going to touch it. Like I said, this is going to take more than one session. So I'm going to just touch on some stuff now. But people don't go to the doctor because they're afraid. And they're not confident about not, I'm saying sometimes, and I'll get into it, reasons why people don't go. But sometimes they don't go, and they're not convinced. If you, they're in fear. There's something. They are not confident. But because of whatever reason, they're not going. And they really, it's gnawing on them. You should do that. You should do that. You should do that. But they're like, no, I'm in faith. No, you're not in faith. You're in fear. Sometimes people are in fear. Because you know how you know? Because you're not confident. You're not convinced. You're not strong. You're not persuaded. You asked them, get down to brass tacks. You confident? You don't go to the doctor, you're going to be fine. Well, I'm trying to believe. You just located yourself. You are not in faith. Y'all with me? Well, I'm trying to believe. I want to. This is the best. This is what I know God. Are you confident that if you stay here, you're going to live? Well, no. You located yourself. You better get to God and decide what he is telling you to do, because not everybody is at the same place and hearing the same thing. And there's no condemnation. Who's the healer? God. What's the point? You want to keep your machine working. I mean, people say, well, can't God heal my body without a doctor? Yes, he can. And he can also fix your plumbing without a plumber. He can fix your car without a mechanic. He can fix your computer without an engineer. You understand that God, it doesn't matter what is wrong. He could, you could have your roof and have a hole in your roof. Something came down and knocked a hole in your roof. The tree come down and knocked a hole in your roof. Can God, or can he not, take that tree back out of your roof, patch up that whole roof, put leaves back on the tree, make it like nothing ever happened, put sod back on your lawn and mulch, and it looked like nothing ever happened? Can God do it? Well, why don't you believe that? Well, that's different. It's not different. Did you hear me? It's not different. It's the same thing. The point is, people will go, like, I'll give you an example. We had a car that the thing with living on the East Coast and all the salt and everything is that you can have a car run mechanically for a long time, but you will bump up against rust sometimes before anything else. Well, there was an exhaust problem, and, you know, car's not super old, but it's old. And in the exhaust, it all of a sudden, you know, driving it, all of a sudden, blah, 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 now you hear, okay, now something's wrong with the exhaust. Now you hear what is the muffler is usually suppressing and all that stuff. Well, there was a hole, the pipe broke. So it was like this. And, okay, you have a choice there. Okay. I need this fixed. Could God take that exhaust, put it back up, take all the rust out of it, make it like it never happened, and make my car go back on the road, no problem. Can he, does he have the ability to do it? But you know what? You say, well, I mean, you could ask the question, why didn't I do that? Well, here's the deal. Number one, I did take it to the dealer, and he, you know what? In that case, they want to replace all the parts and make them new. Took it to a place that specialized in the stuff. They said, be 20 minutes and $100. We'll replace that piece of pipe, put it up, solder it, be good enough, be done. And they did it, and it was done. And that's it. Because I didn't believe, okay, I need to get this fixed. I need to believe God that this is going to happen. Why? Because I didn't have that. I didn't believe, I didn't have any confidence that would happen. Yeah. I didn't have any, God was not direct. You say that's different. It's not different. I didn't have any confidence. Now, if I'm in the middle of nowhere and something breaks down and there's nobody for, you know, I'm in the middle of just not even, you know, I'm in the middle of Canada somewhere and there's nobody and I got myself in a stupid situation and I don't have anything. My car breaks down and if something doesn't happen, I'm going to freeze to death. That's a different situation at that point. I'm going to go to God and go, God, show me and get some so that something I can believe. You got to quicken me to tell me what to do so I can latch faith to it so I can believe. But at this point, I'm trying, what am I being led on? God, how do you want me to take care of this situation? You want me to go, the dealer, you want that much money to pick? This thing went like this. I'm looking on YouTube. I'm seeing people do different things, but I don't want to do that. I don't have the tools to do it. All I need is somebody that'll do that quick for me. And I found person. And I was believing, do you want me to spend this much money? Do you want me to believe this? And I found, it's like the guy told me, I'm like, all right, let's go. Done. So I got to believe that I have that money and whatever. But see, I'm being led on what God is telling me to do. So that's your car. That's not your body. Your body is what's given to you to get around, and God wants it well. And here's the thing. By Jesus' stripes, he paid for the ability for your body to be well so you can stand, and no matter what he directs you to do, you know the outcome is, I'm going to be well. Somebody without Jesus does not have that guarantee. They may say, well, it's a fail-safe procedure. I'll just go in and get that done. You know they could die. But when you go to God and you say, Lord, you have provided healing for me. I know your will is healing. I know you want my body well. Now lead me, guide me, direct me, show me what to do so that I have the ability to get this fixed and move on with life. And so I go to him. I trust him. I don't pretend. There's so much more, and we're going to get into more about medicine and some different things. But you don't pretend. You don't decide, well, no, that's not, I don't believe that's not God's highest and best. We don't receive from God based on what he can do. What have we been talking about? How do we receive from God based on your faith? Based on what you can believe, based on where your confidence is, where my confidence is, and not everybody's at the same place. So we go to God, not based, because he could take my car, and he could have not only replaced that pipe, but replaced everything in it, the tires, everything, just boom. He has the ability, but see, I don't receive based on what he can do. I receive based on where my confidence is. So I got to know based on his word and based on what he's speaking to me in my heart, what to do. There's a quickening there. There's a strength there. Son, do this. You can believe for that, and this will be done, and you'll be okay. And now I have faith to go forward and to be fine. And it's not anybody else's business, and it's not anybody else to, and it's not condemnation. Well, I know I should be doing this, but I can only see there's no confidence in there. There's no strength there. There's no conviction there. That is actually, you know, being led by something else than God. We go to God and say, God, what would you have me do? He knows where we are. He knows what we can believe. He knows where our faith is. And so when we get in line with his word, we get results. Because what's the bottom line? You want your body well. I could have still been standing out there with my car going, I'm a pastor of a church. I'm going to show how much faith I have. This exhaust pipe will change in Jesus' name. And I could still be standing out there. Because if God wasn't leading me to do that and I had no faith and no conviction and no persuasion, there's no faith in it. I am just doing that. You know, people do that with healing. They're like, I heard on healing. I know that's the best way. And so that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to speak to this. Question, did God tell you? He told you in his word. Is that what he's saying here now? Is that what you have confidence in that when you speak, it's done? Because if you don't, you're pretending. I'm pretending. I'm wasting my time. I'm not walking in faith. I'm walking in presumption. I'm doing it a different way. But if I get in faith and go, God, I seek you. I believe you. I trust you. Now show me. And he quickens me. All right, I have faith. Yeah, I believe we can do that. I believe I can have that done. I believe now I can go forward. And he may, again, summing some stuff up, he may lead us in different ways, but the bottom line is I got to have confidence and go to him. And when I go to him and he's leading me, I'll get results. And then I can praise God. I can say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. You led me. You helped me. I give all glory to you. Thank you for helping me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so thankful. Yes. Praise God.